What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Man, show in front of the show, Coach Francis Brown here, the Morehead State Eagle out of OVC, 13-5 on the year. Always consistently winning, doing big things up in Morehead, Kentucky. Francis, good talk to you, man. How are you today on this Monday, brother?
Man, doing great. Appreciate you always having me on here. This is one of my favorite annual shows to be on and be a part of. You do such a great job of showcasing our program, so I appreciate being on here.
Man, you're welcome. I'm always good to have you on, man. And like, do this almost 8 years now, man. Time flies, man, doesn't it?
No question. No, it does, man. It really does. You know, when I got the job, I was very fortunate to be the youngest head coach in the country. And unfortunately, that's not a title they let you hang on to for very long. And so you fast forward to right now. This is my seventh full season as the head coach here at Morehead, and I'm the elder statesman, I guess you could say, in the league, you know, longest coach in the league at this point. And so, you know, things kind of come a full circle here at Morehead, but been really blessed, man, to just have some great players, great staff, and some really good teams over the past few years.
Go back to the non-league play, Preston. I mean, 9-4 non-league, you know, when you're not in a Power 5 league, where you can just sit at home and buy games. That's why to play and make it work and that kind of thing. So I happy for you to go to non-league play, come out at 9-4, despite having to go play your guarantee games, of course, that raise money against just the big boys, but still other games going, winning enough for them to be 9-4 going into OVC play.
Yeah, you know, it's something that we've never been able to do. You know, we're going to play four of those, you know, Power Conference games each and every year for various reasons, you know, exposure and, you know, the opportunity to you know, learn about our team and figure out just where we're trying to get to by the time we get to March. And, you know, to come out 9-4 and very, very closely, I'm sure you saw, we had a chance to almost be 10-3. We go down to Indiana, lead the entire game and kind of lose it there in the last minute of the game. But, you know, the message to our guys after those games is, you know, especially in the beginning of the year, you know, we were We opened at Alabama, and then our third game in the first week of the season, we played at Purdue. It was obviously phenomenal. And, you know, we went into the beginning of the season against those teams with hope that we would play well, right? But because of our guys and how much they had progressed, they learned from those types of games, they get better. You know, then we went into Indiana, you know, almost 2 months later with belief that we were going to win. But at the end of the day, you know, we learned, and the message to my guys is, hey, we're not quite ready to beat those teams just yet. But we've got a long conference slate to get ready and to work on us and to continue to improve. And if we focus on that, then we'll get our opportunity once we get into March. And by that time, we'll be ready. And so that's kind of the message every year. And, you know, really hit home last year because it worked out. You know, we didn't do so well in those Power Five games earlier in November, December. But by the time we got to March in the NIT, we got a chance to play a really good Clemson team and took care of business on the road. And so the guys buying into that philosophy and believing in it is as much to do with our success as anything else.
Testament to the guys understanding the process. I tell our guys all the time, you don't want to be a finished product in November. So if you want to be a finished product, come February into March when the ball counts, where it's single elevation, where it's winner go home. So peaking at that time is way better peaking right there in November, December, and getting better for every practice, every shoot around, every just individual drill when you do it to yourself. All those things matter, especially in a culture where you got yours has been a winning culture. Those small details matter. And when you take those into consideration, get 1% better every day, you can win games when it's big time in March.
Yeah, without question. And, you know, keeping your focus small, it's not an easy thing to do, especially when you're having success. You know, we always say the two hardest things to deal with are failure and success. And success offers up a lot more distractions. And those distractions give your mind and your attention a lot more choices than failure does. And so, you know, I think that, you know, you look at our guys right now, we're coming off a tough loss. Our first loss in league play just, you know, the other day there at SIUE against a tough opponent on the road. And, you know, everybody said, man, so sorry for the loss. And, hey, we didn't deserve to win. We didn't play well. We didn't play the way that we were supposed to. But we never lose sight of that we needed that loss. You know, we needed that. We needed that experience because it's all a part of our process of becoming a great team. And you can't skip those steps. And do you wish it were different? Sure, but it's not. It's a part of the process. You've got to embrace that.
No doubt, Preston. Your league is from top to bottom. It's tough, top to bottom. And my man Chad doing a good job already, 5-0, Western Illinois. You got my man Ryan on Thursday. He does a great job, but his team is 10 deep, minimum 10 deep, you know, at UT Martin. So it's no easy night in the OVC. And to be 4-1, with taking a loss to Brian Baroni and those guys, who does a heck of a job. It's like, you know, it's good to reset and kind of be able to get them in practice week, maybe even focus on things and make them, you know, get back to the fundamentals or the little small things they may have let slip since winning. So now it's like easier. Coach Hard with an awful loss, man.
no doubt. Yeah, without question. You know, we always focus on learning, you know, learning after every game. And, you know, I didn't feel like we played well last Saturday against Tennessee State, particularly in the second half here at home. But, you know, we were fortunate enough to win that game, and we poked a lot of holes and showed a lot of mistakes on both sides of the ball that we made. I just don't know if they hit home as hard as they should have because we won the game. And so we made a lot of those same types of mistakes on Saturday against SIUE. And so obviously it's going to sting a little bit more. It's going to hit home. And, you know, the expectation is we come in here and practice today on Monday and, you know, guys are going to be have a heightened sense of urgency because you don't like that feeling of losing. And it's a foreign feeling to this team because, you know, that was the first time we had lost to a like level opponent all year. But it learns, you know, it helps the guys learn that, hey, we're human. We can be beat too. And it just really magnifies the little details, as you mentioned, that make us a great team and not make us a collection of really good players.
And you get to be really focused because, you know, UT Martin lost two games at home coming on the road to play you guys here on Thursday night. So they're going to be coming out with passion as well. So they're probably going to stand that first punch coming out. They're going to be upset they lost at home twice this weekend. So you guys really got to come focused. And I think that's the thing about basketball we love, like that mental match, who wants it more, who wants to punch first and get that first hit in there. But we're standing that punch and it's settling in and play the game that you decided to play based on the gameplay.
Yeah, without question. And, you know, you mentioned Tennessee Martin, you know, watched them a good bit because we've already played some of the teams that they had and had a great, you know, sense of familiarity with them and extremely talented, you know, top to bottom. They got size, they got shooting, they got depth, they're athletic. They're a very dangerous team. And so, you know, we've got to make sure that we do a good job against those guys. But the other part of it, boss, is, you know, we've gotten to a point now that with our program, we're going to get everybody's best shot. You know, we played on the road at SIUE. It was a nationally televised game on ESPNU. It was the first nationally televised college basketball game that led off a great Saturday. It was T-shirt night. They gave out T-shirts. It's, you know, it's going to be all that type of stuff. And so, you know, we welcome that challenge because I don't think any of our guys came here, you know, via the recruiting process to get picked fifth in the league. They came here to compete for a championship and to get everybody's best shot. But, you know, you can't play the scores. You can't look at the records. You can't say, well, this team lost to that team or home or away or this or that. Whatever the best version of each one of those other OVC teams is, we're going to get it. And so we got to prepare for it each and every day.
And Preston, you got two good grad transfers, like Riley Bennix and Jordan Latham. Tell me about those young men and what really stood out to you in the recruiting process to get them to come play for you guys at Morehead State.
Yeah, you know, I'll start with Lathan, you know, because he had been here with us last year. You know, he was going to play for us last year and then had a shoulder injury that ended his season. And so he did get to spend an entire year with us, getting acclimated, getting used to what we do, and being entrenched in our culture. And that's really, you know, made that transition for him very smooth because you look at, you know, his path getting here, he hadn't had as much team success. And it's a big draw why he came here. What's kind of unique about that one was, you know, I recruited Jordan when he was in high school, when I was an assistant coach long, long time ago, because this is his sixth year of college. And so, you know, we're looking at 8 years ago or so when I was watching him in high school and calling him. And at that point in time, his recruitment kind of blew up. And, you know, he had had a lot of high major recruitment, ends up at UTEP. And so when he became available coming from Milwaukee, his second school, you know, we brought him in and we really thought he could be a really good player for us. And, you know, to his credit, you know, he's really bought in and trusted our staff and the plan that we have in place for him. He really works. You know, one thing he does, boss, is you tell him he needs to get good at this, he's going to get good at it. You know, that's what he's going to do. He's not going to shy away from the work. He loves the game and he's very passionate to go along with that talent. And so we're getting the best version of him, you know, in 6 years of college, 5 years of playing, this is the best version of Jordan Lathan and the most efficient version. And, you know, we've been able to do that with a lot of guys, so that we're really proud of that. You know, Riley's a man, what a talent, you know. This is 2 years in a row that we've had an NAI All-American grad transfer. Last year it was Alex Gross, this year with him. And, you know, I got to mention those two in the same breath because, you know, Alex's connection to Riley and Alex, his experience and success that he had here last season for a program, really paved the way and made the connection for Riley to get here. And he was a huge get for us. And we knew the moment that we got that commitment early in the spring, he was our first commitment in the spring, that he was going to be a game changer. He'd be something that we hadn't had here in a long time. You know, he's a great combination of size, strength, skill, and IQ. And man, he's a great player. He can play inside. He can play out. He's extremely intelligent. He can do a lot of different things. And so he's a big matchup problem in this league, but he's certainly a guy that we're excited to have.
No doubt, man. I think it's a great gift for you guys. I've seen him play, man. I'm like, this guy's special, gonna really help this year as this year goes on. And what's good about your team, man, like you got balance, you got five guys there. 7 points or more, three double figures. So that means the ball's moving, and you and I both know the ball's energy. If guys are engaged offensively and getting the ball some, you know, they'll defend harder for you other than the floor. They get, but we all know how young players are. The offense don't sign up for it, they take time to play defense on the other end of the floor.
Yeah, no question. And you know, one thing that we've been, man, is you know, each of the last 3 years, and we're gaining on it again this season, hope to get there by March, is, you know, we've been top 20 in the nation in assisted field goal rate. You know, so the shot quality, how we share the ball, you know, making the easy play, the extra pass, you know, passing up a good shot to get a great shot, and understanding, you know, what it is that is good for our team has really been a separator for us. And so, you know, making sure that we're doing that consistently has been a big part of our success. And you're exactly right, man. That ball gets cooking, as we call it. It's got a little bit of life to it. And, you know, that's what creates good first shot, good second shot, and it allows you to, you know, set up your defense, which right now, as we stand here, we're top 10 in the nation in 10 defensive categories, rebounding being one of them. And so, you know, all those things go hand in hand. And having an older group of guys, as we do, really allows for those guys to truly understand how those things go hand in hand and how the game's played.
Yeah, because I tell y'all, Southwestern, you about to defend great for 29 seconds. You don't get that rebound. You didn't do a good job. You know?
That's right. That's right.
Take a chance forward. So it's about complete that possession, being late clock defenders. That's what I call it. Like late clock defending, get the rebound, make the right close out, don't foul, don't bellow them out. So it didn't get dead on offense, limits allowed ball turnovers. And if you miss a shot, get back. Don't give up these layups. You suck it over a missed shot.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a huge part of the game. You know, I would say for us, we make that a part of everything we do. You know, people say, why are you guys such a good rebounding team each and every year? What do you do? What are your drills? Every drill is a rebounding drill, is what we say, you know, because it's such an integral part of the game, you know, on both sides of the ball. And it allows you to be great in transition offense and defense. And, you know, transitions the marriage between the two. And so you got to be great at that. And you got to be great at the connector, which is rebounding. And it's a focal point for us each and every day.
And Preston, let me ask you, for new rules this year for us, no charges. Are you emphasizing more standing in front of the ball, having your hands to the lights? Because I feel like charges are done in college basketball right now. So just trying to load up in the paint now and get a charge and work anymore. You really put your hands in the lights and just stay in front of that ball and don't let nobody blow by you, because get to the back line, all you can do is stand your hands up there. You can't get a charge though.
Yeah, you know, it's been really interesting. I think the key with that, a lot of people don't realize, is you can still get on ball charges, right? If I'm guarding the ball and I do a great job of sliding my feet, as you said, showing my hands and beating them to a spot, and you know, you take a hit right on the chest, absolutely, those are still charges. Those are still ones that we're going to get from time to time. But it's that secondary defender that they've made it extremely hard to rotate over on a drive and get there in time to take a charge. And so it's not really been a big part of our defensive identity anyway, because we don't really like to overhelp. But it's made us really focus more on, you know, vertically contesting and making sure we're leaving our feet A to A and contesting with our hands up and all those types of things. But, you know, I think it's a good call. I think it's a good adjustment, rather. I don't know that it's fully, you know, has been as consistent throughout this year, because it's, you know, the block charge has been such a controversial, you know, part of the game for so long that it's going to take a season or two of emphasizing it like they went into this year to make sure that it really tries to eliminate those late slide over secondary defenders who are picking up those charges.
Yeah, that's also to me a player safety thing too, because you can slide over somebody late that's going vertical. That could be a knee or ankle when their career is over, you know, or even worse than that. I've never liked that. I felt like when I would go up and the dude's undercutting me, that could be my life. You know,
right.
I'm vulnerable in there, you know. So it's like, I kind of like it as well, man, because it's player safety, man, and just don't let just get at the game more free. You just can't stuff and load up the whole game and just get a charge. Get good, great players out of the game because you just standing there hoping to get a call.
Yeah, without question, you know, the safety part of that is certainly a great benefit of it. And the other thing too is if you're a primary defender and you can't stay in front of your man, and you need a secondary defender to rotate over, you shouldn't get rewarded with a turnover and a foul defensively. You should be you know, there should be consequences to not being a great primary defender, and that should be a foul on the defense. And so, you know, we agree with that.
And Preston, also, what I can say about rebounding, man, it's my dad always told me, as a young man, he's coached me, rebounding is a want-to thing. He all tells all of us, it's a want-to thing. You know, he was like, hey, two of y'all crash, three of y'all get back. You know, so that's how my dad there transitioning, rebounding, like, you guys said, I get the ball, man. The ball is our energy to get us score more points. So I feel like if more young men do what your team does, and it's no rebounding is a want-to thing. It's an effort thing. Hustling.
Yeah, it's a mentality.
Hustle things.
Yeah, you know, I absolutely agree. I think it's a want-to thing. It's not as much technique as it is mentality. You know, we could teach you to have a great rebounding technique, but if you don't have the mentality to apply it, it's not going to work.
Yeah, no doubt. Like I said, for me, nah, I told you before, I wasn't the best player in the world. I'm better at football. But I knew if I could defend, shoot threes, hustle, rebound, I'd be on the floor. That's what kept me on the floor. You know,
Without question. Yeah.
so I'll tell you, I mean, look at me. I was a better foot basketball my second sport, but I found a way to be on the court because I did the things that impacts winning, the intangibles. I didn't have the best handle in the world. I can't cross like it, but I can get the job done, you know, and do what I can do before I seen the win. I feel like when more young men look at this example, they can help them play as well, not get so caught up in numbers. But if you can impact the game and hit that winning, that should be more important.
Yeah, without question. I think you know, it comes down to, you know, what you're saying right there is a great example of you know, not doing things you can't do, right? We've all got limitations as to what we can do. We've got things we want to be able to do, but if you're not great at them, you don't need to expose yourself or hurt your team by trying to do them. And so, you know, I think one thing that we've been able to do is define roles and put guys in certain boxes here. You know, a lot of times players don't like to hear that, but the reality is, you know, everybody's box is different, right? And if you know, you as for an example, as a player, if you're good at rebounding and shooting, but you're out there trying to play in ball screens and break guys down and play off the bounce and do all these types of things, well, then, you know, you're not living within your box. You're not playing your role. And when you're not doing that, it's going to affect the other guys who can do those types of things. And so, you know, everybody's role is extremely important. And it's important that you execute that because, you know, the game of basketball is connecting all those pieces together. And when one guy wants to, you know, get outside of what he's good at and try to do what other guys need to be doing, that's when you don't have a very successful team. And so I think that's a big part of today's age with, you know, having so many new players via the transfer portal and all that kind of stuff is, you know, identifying, okay, what is this team good at? And what is this player good at, and how does that complement with this guy? And then figuring out, you know, how can we get them to buy in doing that, you know, and understand that, hey, listen, I'm not hating on you here. Like, I know you can make this shot, this particular shot. It's just so happened that for our team, there's a better shot available on this possession, and there's going to be a time where we need you to take that. This wasn't it. And you know, finding ways to do that. That's right now. That's the biggest part of coaching.
Especially in this era where guys are, you know, coming in wanting to play second and third schools or wanting to have aspirations. But hey, sometimes you're selling your role, you're selling that role very well. You still get played over in Europe or in Asia or wherever you want, the G League. Because if you find a specialist like Ben Wallace did, he was a rebounding defender. That man made millions rebounding and defending with hustling and heart. So there are examples of guys who just do the small things that they're good at, it was both what we're saying, and make a lot of money professionally.
Well, there's a lot of guys, you know, honestly, there's more of that now in the NBA than there ever has been. You know, it all comes down to your efficiency, right? And then obviously analytics are a big part of the game. There's probably room on every NBA team for one, two, or three guys that are just dynamic enough to break plays off and to go take and make tough shots. But there's not room for four. There's not room for five of those guys, you know. You look at, you know, your Hawks team that you cover, and I don't know their roster great, but I know that Trae Young, the box that he's allowed to live in is significantly different than the rest of the guys on that team. And if the rest of the guys on the team want to, you know, have the same box that he does, your team's not going to be very good. And so, you know, getting players to really understand that you can create a ton of value for yourself first by winning, that's the number one thing. It's the number one thing that anybody who's at that next level, whether it be in the NBA, the G League, overseas, whatever it is, the number one stat they're looking for is guys that win. And then they're looking at the efficiency that you do it with. You know, there might be a guy that's out there averaging 20 points a game playing for a losing program, and he doesn't have a very efficient all-around game. You know, he's not helping himself. You know, that guy's not getting an opportunity. But you take a guy who's won, a guy that's won efficiently, and he's impacted the game in multiple ways. Those guys get an opportunity. They get a chance.
No doubt, man. Well, Preston, I'll tell you what, but it's good to see you, man. Of course, see you late point as always, man. Getting you some good players, man. We hope to see you in Evansville as well. host that title one more time, my friend. Talk to you right before the big dance again. We always do, like our tradition, man.
That's, hey, man, I hope we can keep that thing going. You know, we're going to focus, like you said in the beginning of the interview, stay right here right now, coaching these guys and really enjoying this team, boss. This is a fun team to coach, man. They're a great group of young men. And, you know, they're fun to come in and challenge and see them get better each and every day. And, you know, I'm really excited to see where we're going to be in the next 6-7 weeks as we get into March.
Same here, buddy. We'll have a good chat with you, my brother.
All right. Thanks so much, boss.
All right.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on BS3Network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku. As well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline. Well, the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.